My name is John Frank, and I'm with International Ag Labs, and I'm happy to have Jennifer Oakes sharing about her peach trees and also about their fans. So, Jennifer, really want to thank you for sharing. Could you just give a little background about yourself?
Okay, I live in Olathe, Colorado. I have a 9-year-old block of peaches, thanks to John. My background includes, I have a bachelor's degree in agriculture business from Colorado State University and a master's degree from Colorado State University in environmental health. I've worked in the power plant industry doing their hazardous waste and wastewater permits and solid waste such. I've raised apples. I've produced juice. I was one of the main forces that started the sweet corn here in Olathe. I was raised in a sour cherry orchard.
Wow, you got a lot of experience.
It seems like it.
Well, interesting. Well, as I recall, you first came to International Ag Labs when your trees, I think, were about a year old. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
So you had just planted them out, and what was the condition you had at that time of your trees?
They were dying. I lost half of them the first year. The soil I have is, I would be considered on the bad side of the railroad tracks. It's a heavy clay adobe soil with lots of salt and very little bacteria.
That's tough. I recall, I'm just looking at some of your soil reports, on your first soil test you sent to us, you had 92 parts per million on your sodium, so it was an issue there.
Yes. Yeah. Most people would not consider planting in an orchard in the soil.
So do you have a lot of peach orchards in your locality in Olathe?
Yeah, it was a major fruit growing area quite a few years ago, but there's quite a bit of fruit grown too. But any other fruit orchards are, like I said, on the other side of the highway, which is better drained soil and that more of a loam soil. But I'm in like the seabed bottom around here.
Well, you know, I think if we can get some of that working right, you know, there might be some, it's obviously got some fertility if you can just get past the difficulty and tap into it.
I think that's been proven when you look at my trees.
So tell us, just take us down a little bit of time now as you started working with us. What did you notice, or what was your impression when you first started working with our program?
Well, it was amazing. Just like the product. It just, it was so noticeable. It was just a gift. And it's almost like my soil is so alkaline that when I use Amaze in your program, there's some unique reaction going on.
Okay, and I'm just going to go ahead and just let people know Amaze is something we use on larger orchards, and it's calcium and phosphorus, NPK, as well as trace minerals in a clear liquid. And it's one of the things that you've used from the very beginning, and we use it to get calcium into the trees and into the fruit.
And yes, that name fits it very well, Amaze.
Amaze, okay. So you've now have an 8-year-old, 9-year-old? So
half are 8 years old and half are going on 9 years old. And there's about 353 trees in a 4-acre block.
Okay. And what varieties of peaches do you grow?
I planted all red globe peaches.
Red globe?
Uh-huh, and I got them on a 10x10 diamond pattern.
Jennifer corrected herself on this and meant to say a 20x20 diamond pattern.
So I put quite a bit of space between them.
Okay. So So after you started, when you started working with us, you had a real high pH. I'm just looking at your 2001 soil test. It was 8.0 on the pH. And you had some that were dying. And you started with a broadcast. And I'm just looking here. We had some, just some gypsum and a few things like that. And then we went into the foliar program. Then there was a big important notice that we've kind of put, don't put any composted chicken manure on the round each tree. And that's something that goes against a lot of what people do, but we find that the extra sodium in this situation was pretty bad.
And I've followed what you've said, and it's worked.
Okay, so after you started with the program, how long was it till you started seeing your trees come into fruit production?
I'm on kind of a crest, and I get a cold breeze every spring that was taking out my first blossoms. And about the fourth or fifth year, I can't recall, I called and talked to you, and you said you got to rebloom them. And I started in on that, and then I started having peaches.
I see. So because of the frost problem, you didn't get peaches right away then?
No.
But how was the tree health as the time went on? What were you observing on the trees and the health of the leaves and whatnot?
My orchard seems enchanted. But it's not a typical peach orchard given the heaviness of the soil. I have lots of leaves now. I have trees that are about 20 feet tall. I don't typically prune them. And they're flexible. They're holding a great crop this year. And we're starting to see some weight on the trees after we've thinned them.
So you had weight on it probably before you thinned, but you thinned and the peach trees just put more back on.
That's exactly right. Yes, and the peaches are getting big.
So you have apparently it was a bumper crop as far as the blossoms that stayed on the tree.
This year, yes, it was just loaded with about nickel to size peaches. And last week we finished thinning through. And this, at the end of this week, we're seeing golf ball-sized peaches.
Wow.
Yes.
I would like to just jump in here and say if anybody has any questions for Jennifer, you can email me at soilrestorer@gmail.com. That's soilrestorer, E-R on the end, @gmail.com. And I'll work those questions into this call.
I would like to add something else. Given
sure.
What the AMAZE program is done for me in that, I do not use any pesticides or any herbicides in the orchard. I use Femaron tags, and I have a few twig borer problems, but not anything worth using the poisons over.
Okay. Well, that kind of ties in with a question we had from Ryan. He wanted to know, do you mow or use herbicide to control ground vegetation in the orchard?
No, I have a cover crop of basically hairy vetch, and it kind of overrides the bindweed and such. But I do, I have a weed badger that I will use about twice a year, and I don't mow because my soil's so heavy, I've got to loosen it a bit around the trees. And I also hand hoe these trees.
So you're hand hoeing just around the trunk, or how far out?
Oh, since I got the weed badger, it's probably like a 10-inch diameter circle. But before I got that, it was just beyond me to hoe.
I see. So has the soil texture changed at all?
Oh, most certainly. It's turning into particulate instead of clay, and then when it gets wet now, I don't see salt crystals form up on the surface.
Oh, that's excellent. That's a real good improvement. Apparently you had that beforehand then.
Oh, yeah. And if you go off the orchard or anything, you will come back. Say you ride the four-wheeler off on the ditch road since it rained or something, you'll come back and it will carry mud. And you'll have just white crystals. They're really quite pretty that start forming off of that dirt on the that you bring with you. And the orchard has developed enough life in it that's real minimal now.
Amazing.
It is amazing.
Well, let me just go ahead and describe typically what we do with the Amaze, just so people know what to do. The Amaze is sprayed usually at about 2 quarts per acre. In some situations, it would be 1 quart per acre. And we also put in a quart of PGR, which is a plant growth regulator, which just helps to bulk up the fruit. Sometimes it's used, sometimes it's not, but Amaze is the primary. Then we add some dextrose into that, about 2 pounds an acre, just to make sure that it sticks to the plant. And Amaze is designed so that the phosphates and the nitrates carry the calcium through the leaf. They actually can get through the leaf. The acidity softens the waxy cuticle, goes across the cell membrane into the leaf, and then the plant with the phosphates there, we end up with a greater level of calcium in the peach. And we're spraying, depends how frequent, but anywhere from 10 days to a couple weeks on peaches. How often are you doing it now, Jennifer?
That's about it. I would say more towards the 10-day thing, especially since I've got the crop on them.
Okay, yep. And that's very important because the calcium that goes into those peaches provide for better resistance to bruising. They last longer instead of rotting down, and they taste better. They have a better taste, of course. So, continue with go back just a little bit now and tell me about what did you let's go talk about the broadcast, because it's not just the foliar spray but also the broadcast. You've had to put some nutrients down in a broadcast form. What were you using, and does it pencil out? I mean, is it paying to follow the program?
Yes. This pays in more ways than is apparent. I'm now starting to get peaches, which are really cosmic gifts. They're just really wonderful pieces of fruit. When you eat them, they feel good inside.
When you eat it, it feels good.
Yeah, yeah, you can feel it in your stomach, and it's pleasant. It's really something you need to experience. My soil is so heavy. I furrow irrigate it, and we put gated pipe in on the top, and then halfway down in the orchard we put in another row so we can get the water down the rows without getting too much on it so we don't drown the trees.
I see.
We've broadcasted soft rock phosphate and given our hay ground too. We've been bringing in a load of that every year in totes, and then the gypsum, and then you recommend some sulfates, with the soil analysis every year, and I have followed that.
And how are you spreading your fertilizers? Just curious.
We pull behind the tractor, and it will hold not quite a tote bag of the soft rock, and it's got two little spinners, and someone rides on the back and pokes it out through the spinners, and we put it on early spring, and that's how we broadcast it.
Okay. Have you estimated what your harvest is now? Like last year you had a pretty good harvest, as I understand. Is that correct?
Yes. Last year was the first year I had a crop, really, and that was off of rebloom. It was so cold last year. which our fans contributed to holding enough buds we could bloom again. And I estimate that I had them. When we pick peaches, we pick them in half bushel boxes, about 20 pounds. And I estimated last year I had 270. And I was weak, given I finally got a crop, and I didn't thin them, hand thin them. And I should have. I would have had a lot easier time with it. But this year, the trees are loaded. And I'm estimating we'll have about 1,400
boxes. 1,400
boxes,
and those are 20-pound boxes.
Yes. That's a lot.
That is amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing.
So we're talking, is that, in my math in my head anyway, is that 28,000 pounds? Or?
Yeah. It might go up to 30,000, 35,000. I've never, ever seen a crop like this.
And when you say I've never seen a crop like this, have you been in around a lot of other peach orchards? So
yes.
Is it qualified,
yes,
what you're saying?
Yeah, that's why I wanted some peaches to give them my background. What they taught at the university was a lot of fun, but it didn't work. And I've been reading the acres and all that, and I followed that, and then I come across your advice. And this is just, it's quite amazing to have peach trees on this soil. And they are healthy and well. I get a little bit of the gummosis if they get too, things get too dense around them or something, which is that gooey sap that kind of comes out.
Okay.
But I watch for that. And I haven't, I put out Fimerons for the trunk borers, and I haven't had any problem there. I do have the twig borer problem, but that's all the insects. I have aphid problems in the spring. They seem to blow in. But you fixed that for me, too.
Okay, and is that you were using the, I think, the dagger on that. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, wonderful stuff.
Okay. Well, that's good. Let's just go ahead and just talk a little briefly about the taste. What I know you mentioned it feels good when you eat it. You just have a real nice feeling. But what does it taste as you eat the peaches?
These peaches are where that peaches and cream thing came from, that magical taste there. I've never found it on any other peaches, and I've ate a lot of peaches, and there's a really good grower across the road from me, and I always thought he grew great peaches, but they're nothing like these peaches. It's just, yeah, they're cosmic gifts, these peaches.
Okay, wow. And I know we've seen some of your peaches in our lab, and we've measured, this was, I think, what, maybe 3 years ago?
Yes.
2 years ago? 3 years
yes.
ago? And that was like 15, 16 bricks was what we were seeing at that time. Go ahead.
I would say, given how difficult this soil is and all your advice and all we've put into it, last year we saw the pH shift. And I'll start paying closer attention to the bricks now. Before it was like, just hang on, we're going down the rapids. That this is what we got, and you really can't adjust it a lot. But now I'm starting to feel that we can.
Yeah, one of the keys to doing that is as the soil gets addressed correctly, the use of foliar sprays allow the plant to actually pick up more nutrients, first of all from the foliar spray, but also from the air. And it kind of, I don't know if this is the right word, but potentiates the tree to be able to grab nutrients from the air. And so foliar spraying, once your soil is right, can be increased in frequency. And there's some other things that we could do if you wanted to play with a few more different sprays to just push it a little harder. But, you know, that would be an area to work on in the future.
Yes. Now that I can have peaches.
Yeah,
I believe
right.
With the fan we have, we can have peaches every year.
Okay. Well, that sounds like you had two things going right. First of all was to get your soil so that your trees weren't dry and then they were healthy trees. And then the second thing was Craig, your husband, built a fan. Can you talk a little bit more about that fan? And first of all, let's talk, you were having crop failures almost repeatedly, pretty consistently, as I remember. Maybe you got one year that you had some peaches. I don't know.
Yeah. It was real marginal, and it was been about 50 boxes if I had them before. The trees are real sensitive because of this soil we've got that's so difficult. But in 2008, Craig built me a fan, and cold air will roll. So if you've got some rolling hills or something, you want to consider where you would put this fan. But it is basically, we take them out, and we set it in a spot, and we lift the column up, and then we put like a 10x10 skirt around it and bolt it to it, and we take the drop cord and we plug it into our yard sprinkler. And I have a frost alarm in the house, and when it hits, I believe it's about 30, I turn it on. I throw the breaker in the house and it comes on. And it draws air off of the bottom and pushes it out the top. It's about 20 feet tall. And that is having quite a positive effect.
How did Craig get the idea for this type of a fan? It just kind of came to him? Or?
Well, first we started out the big, you know, propeller fans you see in the orchards. And my dad had one of those, and I could never really see that it worked. And he started thinking about it, and Craig's the type of guy, he can really fix anything. He's a diesel mechanic by trade. And he got to asking me what and why, and he come rolling in with this thing, and it works. There's something more there going on besides the cold temperature. By the time this thing shoots that air out the top and mashes the other air down, we've seen a real positive thing.
Okay, so just to kind of recap, you've got a very 10-foot column that's 20 across. No.
How it's 4 foot in diameter.
Okay, 4 foot across.
Uh-huh, and it takes up about a 10x10 spot. And then we've got cables we run, four cables we run down. And we cable it in.
That's
and we
to
never
stabilize the
it.
Column, just to hold
yes.
the column up, okay?
And we never have any problems with the wind blowing it around. And it is got sheet metal in it, so it rattles a little. But it stands right there till we take them down.
Okay, so then it's sucking air about from about 4 feet off the ground, and then it's blowing it up another 20 feet up? Is that what?
Yeah, it's sucking it off probably about 3 feet, and it pulls it around off of this skirt thing in the bottom.
Okay, and so you've got, and then what you're seeing is that it's moving the air around, and it's getting some warmer air apparently on the trees by doing that.
Yes, and whatever else might be going on there.
Do you think that this works primarily on a hilly area, or do you think it would also work more in a flatter area?
Yeah, I think it would work any place. Whether if you're on a hill, my orchard drops 7 feet from the top to the bottom, and it's about 700 feet. And I put mine like I ran two this year, but I put it about 10 rows from the west side and almost in the center. And I got I set another one down below where it drops a little bit more. And it's spectacular what I got this year.
So would you say then you had no frost damage whatsoever?
Yeah, I'd have to say that. I would say, and we had I ran it 26.25 hours this spring, and I turned it on when it went to 28 degrees.
Really?
And I should have had a marking thermometer out away from this, so I don't really know how cold it got, but it did hold it. and it was it's quite amazing, this fan, like when you compare it to the propeller jobs, which are $20,000, and then you gotta set an engine on a concrete pad and they stay there all the time and everything. But
I've seen those, yeah.
Yeah. But this guy, you haul it out and you can take it down or you could leave it up. Mine are stored next to the garage right now.
Excellent. So you're on five, you said 4 acres?
Yes.
Is that right? You've got 4 acres. You've got 2 fans.
Right. And given, I think they could do a fan, given whatever the area is, could probably do 4 acres on its own.
Okay. So you think the one fan could cover 4 acres?
Yes. We put 2 up this year. The first year he built them, that was 2008. We started running them on April 2nd, and we quit running it on May 10th. We had 1 fan.
Wow.
It ran out of 38 days. I ran it on 20 of those days, and on I would run it. Sometimes I started it at 9 o'clock at night and ran it till morning. And you want to always wait till you see the sun coming up and you can see your thermometer start going up before you shut it off.
Okay.
That was an amazing thing. That and I saw my electric bill last year. I was calculating. It increased, I think, about $21. And this year, I think my electric bill went up $13.50. And I was running 2 of them, and I ran 26 hours. But this year, we had enough cold, it would have took the crop.
Wow.
And this is the first year I have not had to rebloom the trees to get a crop. And that's kind of sparse when you do that. But, yeah. This is amazing what I got.
So this is your first year that you've not had to use Bloom It and spray it on. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And Bloom It is something that can be used to bring some blossoms back out if there's energy in the soil.
And I even had energy in mine.
So you did get them to come out some of those years quite a bit, from what I understand, but they would keep freezing off. Is that correct?
That initial bloom was totally gone. And then when I figured that was about it, I start spraying Bloom It. Now, one year, the frosts were so hard, it even got the secondary buds, like that are reblooming. But that's what I had last year. It was such a severe spring. But that fan held it where I could get the rebloom.
Wow. So you got the rebloom. So this is your first year then without the rebloom. And so you're kind of probably going to see a higher yield than you're expecting.
Yes, I'm expecting that. And I'm expecting a better quality because that cold weather is, it damages you whether you want to admit it or not.
Okay. Well, that's excellent. So I understand that Craig is selling these fans, then?
Yes.
Okay. And what is the price on the fans?
We have them priced at $8,900. And we also have a website.
You do?
If someone would like to look at it.
Okay. And what's that website?
It's The Magic Fan, and we're spelling it M-A-G-I-C-K. @gmail.com.
Is that your? That's an email address. No.
Yeah, that's my email. I got themagicfan@.com. I'm not
kidding. .com. Okay, that's fine. That's
yeah, themagicfan.com.
Themagicfan.com.
A picture of one in there, and they're quite simple. You know, and what's so great is you get on and. Of course, you put it on the yard pump, so I don't even have to go outside. That thermometer goes off. I go to the breaker box and kick that on and wait till the sun comes up.
So there's a picture of your peaches as well on that peach trees.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they're still dormant there.
Okay, I want to go over an email we got here from David Pelley. I'm just going to just kind of recount some of the things we covered. Whereas the farm is in Colorado, 4 acres, and you said about 350 trees?
Yes.
And your estimate of boxes per tree would be, or you estimated about 1,400.
I bet I'll get 2 bushels a tree pretty easy.
10 bushels?
Four bushels. 2 bushels, 2 to 3 bushels, and those are 40-pound bushels. Okay. And then they're even all over the trees, and I'm going to have quality this year because I was able to thin them to the 4 to 6 inches.
So just so you're calculating 3 bushels perhaps per tree at 40 pounds each?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just trying to get a so that would be maybe 120 pounds? Does that sound right?
Yes. Yes. That's, the trees, there aren't 2 trees alike in my orchard, given the soil texture and all that stuff. But I would say that they will, on an average, it will all, some of them are going to go heavier and some, will not, will probably just do the 1 or 2 bushels because they're, and the neighbor likes to use herbicide. I have some problems. And it
okay.
Falls over on me.
Well, that's a sad situation. But so maybe anywhere from 80 to 120 pounds on,
yes.
on a tree.
Yes.
Kind of average.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that covers those questions. How have you been marketing your peaches so far?
Well, it's not really been an issue, but I go to the local farmer's market, and I'm going to have to find me a few more outlets here. But they, when I pick them, they are ripe, and they need to be eaten or canned. And they're, I have a lot of return customers, and I got about a 2 to 3 week period in there to move them.
I see. And your estimate on when you will be harvesting this year?
It'll be within the first 2 weeks of August. We have to get closer. This is just really great. Usually you don't see the peaches start sizing around here till the pits get hard, which is about July.
Hmm.
We're seeing it.
Does that mean you think you're going to get bigger peaches, or you think you're going to just get earlier peaches?
Maybe some of both. It's exciting.
Wow, that's very good. So I have a number of people that are interested in buying peaches from you. What do you charge for your peaches? And I understand you have the right to change your price or whatever, but so far, or what do you anticipate selling this coming crop for?
I've been able to sell them for $20 a box, and that's 20 pounds in the box. And then I get some clamshells, those plastic
okay.
containers, and I will do the farmer's market thing with those and put 6 peaches in there, and if they're a bit smaller, a few more of that. And those I'll get $5 on. But $20 a box the last couple of years I've been able to do that. And that people seem to be able to afford that and to can with them, too.
Okay, and the last I was looking at, we didn't see shipping to be very easy for peaches.
No, I don't. That's not even an option, I don't believe. That box I sent to you,
mm-hmm.
I packaged it, like, in a box, and then I packaged it in 3 more times. And it cost $100 to overnight it to you. And they still were mush when you got them.
About half of them were really, really bad.
Yeah.
Okay. So the price is basically at your farm. Are they welcome to come by and pick
Certainly.
It up?
Certainly.
Certainly.
I'm going to... we're off of the main Highway 50. We have a diesel shop there, and I'm going to set up, and I'm going to sell peaches from the highway there, and then I will go to the local farmer's market and maybe go to the set on the street in Gunnison. When they get ripe, you got to do something. So there ain't a lot of, you pick them, you cool them down. And
are you interested in taking pre-orders, and people would prepay and order, and then as they're getting close to ripe, you could let them know that they're, you know, that this will probably be the window frame and to make more arrangements?
I will be glad to do that, and I don't need no prepayment on it.
Okay, just whenever they come to pick it up, just they could just kind of order, but they pay when they come.
Yes.
Okay, well, what about a phone number for people to contact you, or how should they get in touch with you?
That would be 970-323-8684, which is also the same number on themagicfan.com. Leave
okay.
a message. I'll return the call.
Okay, so just leave a message and you'll return the call. Again, that's 970-323-8684.
Yes.
Okay. And I'm planning to come there and get some of these peaches, and I'm probably going to collect a bunch of orders from people around here and try to get a whole bunch at once and pick a bunch up.
That's great. And then when you get them, you need to drive back.
Yes, right away.
I would like to add something else here.
Yeah.
When I work with you, what you have told me has been right on. I would say it's very honest and it works. And the product that you send me in the containers is what you represent. And I appreciate that.
Wow, thank you. Well, I'm going to just let people know here. We got several people who want to order from you, but I'm going to let them know that they can contact you directly. Have you done any processing, or do you sell anything besides fresh peaches?
No, just fresh peaches. I can a few for myself, and they can up very nice. There's a very nice texture to them, and I use anywhere from a light to a medium syrup. Even canned, they're good. These peaches, when they're fresh, if you take two of them and make you a smoothie with a glob of yogurt and some ice, that is just, that's quite startling. But you don't get the same thing after you can them.
Okay.
So when they're fresh, they're like that. And if they contact me around the 1st of August, I'm sure I can tell them when they're going to be coming on.
Okay, so kind of that's the heads-up time is to call you around the 1st of August.
Yes.
Okay. Matthew Carroll sent some questions in. When you planted your peach trees, did you add anything to the holes, a limestone peat moss, or did you just backfill with existing soil?
Well, I initially planted them. I used another guy's recommendations, and it wasn't real good, and I overwatered them, and then half of them died. The second year, I worked with you guys. Yes, I did add to the hole. I would have to look back. I believe it was the RL37 and something else.
Probably a microbial inoculant, maybe Crescendo or something like that.
Yes, that was what I put in there.
We've since, working with Lynn Hoag, we've since making recommendations to plant trees with our tree planting kit, which is a 30-pound package of minerals and biology, and it got a technique on how to do that. So our suggested program now, if you were starting brand new, would be to start with the tree planting kit.
I think that would be very wonderful.
Okay, another question from Matthew. What kind of foliar sprays have you found to work best? And have you tried C Agri, they have a product called C90, which is dried ocean water?
No, I have not. The second year I started in with you, And this Amaze stuff works so well that the only other thing maybe I bought boxes of was Miracle-Gro. The trees will get yellow and stuff. And that kind of helped that, but I got to be real careful not to overwater them. But the Amaze and the PGR and that works so well, I think that's really why the orchard's still here. I don't know that they would grow without that.
Okay, and I just want to respond to Matthew's question as well. The PGR is a plant growth regulator and is derived from seaweed extract. It also has cytokinins and auxins in it, but it has a whole lot of trace minerals because it is seaweed derived. So we are getting sea minerals there, but we're getting it in the form of seaweed extract rather than just plain sea minerals, sea salts. Okay, another question. What mistakes have you made with your peach trees that experience has taught you not to make?
Well, given you've got a mineral package to start growing them, I would use that. Another thing, they're really, the soil is so difficult to work with. They're quite sensitive to different things. And the Amaze is just quite forgiving. It helps a lot of that. The PGR is real sticky stuff, so you want to make sure you get that mixed in good. I would have called you sooner to get the Bloom It. That works well if you haven't really gotten cold. The Dagger works well when the aphids come in. And I think they blow in from Utah. And I know you say when your trees get healthy, they won't draw them in, but hopefully I reach that point. But I really don't think this orchard would be here without your program and the Amaze spray.
Okay, and just for some people who want to ask the program that Jennifer's talking about is not organic, but it is focused on getting top quality produce. Our goal is to get the greatest health benefit to the consumer. At the same time, we want to have the greatest selling quality of the produce so that the growers have a superior product to compete in the marketplace. And so that's what our focus is on these peaches.
I figure every year that I'll buy probably $1,000 worth of product from you. And that includes freight, too. And then whatever I spend on the soft rock and those recommendations or outside you, then they're rather minimal. But then I buy Femeron tags, which just confuse the bugs so they don't mate. And other than that, that's my expense.
Okay. So you're looking at maybe a total of $1,200 a year maybe? On an average? Kind of varies.
Yeah, I would say probably about $1,600.
Okay.
A bucket of Femerons is $300, and then the soft rock in that, that's kind of hard to get. We buy a full truckload of that. So, but from you, like I said, I figure it's going to take $1,000, and that... And I don't buy outside of that. And that's 4 acres. So
about $250 an acre.
Yeah.
Well, it may be a little less if you don't have to buy the Bloom It. And so that would be good.
Yes, but you want to have that on hand.
You want that
Dagger on hand, too.
Okay, so there's a key point you just mentioned. Have Bloom It and have Dagger on hand.
Yes, because when... The initial meristem growth is so tender and soft, and by the time I see them aphids, I got to get it on there in a day or so. and it clears them off. But my beneficial bugs aren't harmed either. I have a lot of praying mantis, and then I release lacewings later on, too.
Okay. So you're the important thing is, as soon as you see aphids, you immediately spray with Dagger. And,
yeah.
And as soon as you, go ahead.
They'll get in that very initial growth on the tips, you know, and they'll just feed like, and they'll defoliate the tree in a day by the time you see it. I think they must overwinter too sometimes.
Okay. Let me explain what Dagger is. Dagger is a blend of neem and fish oil with an emulsifier added in. It is used as a repellent for aphids or bugs or whatever, but it is not an insecticide. It is a natural product of just the two oils. Very important to use it as soon as you see it. In greenhouses and other situations, I'm recommending Dagger, or we have another name for it called Showtime for small containers, to be used automatically just once a month as a healthy preventative, because it actually provides some natural oil content, shines up the leaves. It does seem to give a little better increase in the photosynthetic capacity of the leaf and the tree there. So that's just a little blurb on that, but that's what we're seeing with gardens.
I dilute mine down. I probably use about a quart in a 55-gallon drum when I spray.
Okay.
And I get control that way.
And you're spraying, how much does that cover?
Probably not quite an acre. And I spray it directly on the tree with a wand.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'll just wash them out of there with a lot of that. And you want to, another thing that I would recommend is you want to be careful not to spray a maize till your fruit is set.
Excellent point. That's a very important point. A maize has a growing, there's a growth versus fruiting ratio, and a maize has a tendency to be just on the growth side and could knock off some blossoms. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, very much so.
Okay, so we would like to see a maize be put on once you've got the blossom or petal fall. Is that about the time you would begin, or a little bit after that?
I like to see little green peaches forming.
Okay, little green peaches. Okay.
Yeah, just you know they're there.
Okay. Great.
In fact, this year, the next year, when I see that, I'm going to start a maize sooner, so maybe so many don't set on the trees.
Okay, I see what you're saying. You're going to use the maize to try to keep some of your blossoms off.
Yes.
At that particular time.
Yeah, when I start seeing peaches,
just a little something here. If you happen to knock off too many blossoms, you can come back on with some blooming.
I suppose it's so exciting to have a crop. You've done it.
Oh no, actually, you are the one out there working.
But you gave me something to work with. Yeah. Another thing on the Dagger, don't get lazy and get the very last of it out of the tank.
Because
it'll burn your leaves right off your trees, and they don't want to grow back either. And when you're done with that stuff, you want to take some Dawn dish soap, run it through your sprayer. That stuff gets really hard.
Yeah, it is. That's something we've seen. That foam that comes out of the bottom, you for sure don't want to put that on a leaf.
No, that's just... that's terrible.
Yeah, don't use the very last bit. Well, those are some good points you're giving. You know, in summary then, you'd say that... Would you say that most growers really do need to work carefully with a consultant?
Yes. Yes. And you're really wonderful. I send you the soil analysis and I buy your product and you provide me with information probably beyond what I deserve, but I do appreciate it.
You know what, Jennifer? The really good thing here is the soil test. Honestly, that's what, if it wasn't for the soil test that we do, this particular soil test, we wouldn't be any different than the average person out there. Because we really wouldn't know what nutrients the plant can get. And that's what makes the difference for us, is being able to see what nutrients can the plant get. And we fertilize according to that, rather than fertilizing according to what's in the soil. It's a very different question, very different answer, and it helps us get nutrient-dense foods or high BRIX on the produce. So I'd have to give a lot of credit back to the soil test.
Well, it works.
Okay. Well, anything else in closing that you would like to talk about or cover about your trees? Or
I don't believe so. If it wasn't for what you have sold me and the advice and that, I would have given up on this project probably 4 years ago. But now with this and the fan, and I believe I'll have a crop every year. And that's just Yahoo. It's amazing.
Briefly describe a little bit. You've kind of. Are you trying to grow a very rich hay or nutrient, like a hybrid hay? Is that what you're doing now?
Yeah, that's our intention. And we, this year I even used the dagger on it so far. We're at a spot we're probably needing to reseed. We got, and the soil is not far from the orchard soil. And we've got a real nice grass field on it. And we followed your recommendations on it. We had aphid problems there. The dagger cleared that off where it could get growing. I know you told me it wasn't feasible to spray a maize on it, but it was just sitting still, so we sprayed it with a maize, and we saw 3 inches it told it to grow. And it needs cut, but we're having a lot of rainy weather right now.
I see. Yeah, that's important. Well, that's good. I'm excited to hear about that, and I just wanted to let people know that as far as I know, and the people that I've worked with and come in contact with, Jennifer's got the best peaches that I'm aware of, and it's my hearty recommendation that if you want the best quality peaches, to go to in contact Jennifer Oakes, and you can reach her at, again, the phone number is 970-323-8684, and their website is The Magic Fan. It's M-A-G-I-C-K, magicfan.com. And also, if anybody wants additional tips and things on what's happening with nutrient-dense foods and where to find some things, you can go to johnisontwitter.com, J-O-N, that's J-O-N, johnisontwitter.com, and follow me there. And I will be giving out more and more of these recommendations for where to buy the best produce as I come across them. And so I just want to thank you, Jennifer. That's very nice sharing your story and what what's happened, and I'm looking forward to getting your peaches this year and getting my year supply of peaches from you in August. And I would like to mention that when I get some of these peaches from you, I am going to take these peaches and do a nutrient density analysis in our lab, and I'm going to contrast them to probably some store-bought peaches or at least the USDA database and just see the amount of mineral that are actually in here as compared to what's average in the store. So that'll be a follow-up, and I'll be releasing that information and making that public. You can be assured it's going to be a whole lot more minerals in there than the typical peaches. So, I guess with that, I'm done, and I want to thank you, Jennifer.
Well, thank you.
And I hope Craig gets really busy making a bunch of fans, because hopefully some people would need to buy some of those and could get the benefit out of that as well.
Well, we've got them.
Okay. Well, thank you, and I appreciate it. So have a good night.
Thank you, Don. Bye.
Okay, bye.